So we've been learning Gittin, and tonight we're going to speak about Inyanei Tshuva, and I want to really kind of find a way to connect the two. It's actually not that, it's not so difficult. So what I'd like to begin is, in the Shir and Gittin, actually, we, you know, our intention is to learn, you know, some of the topics in the first parak, and nonetheless, we've begun at the end of the Masechta, a little bit of Kore Yelamafreya. So I want to actually do the same thing tonight, a little bit, with Hilchos Tshuva. We try to switch off in different years before Rosh Hashanah to speak about Tshuva or to speak about Shofar. I think last year we spoke about Shofar, so this is a Tshuva year. So I thought that we would start at the end of Hilchos Tshuva instead of at the beginning. There's a well-known tradition, you know, that the Rambam wrote Hilchos Tshuva in 10 chapters, and it's a well-known tradition that people, you know, parcel out like a chapter a day from the beginning of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. After all, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Chesem and Aleph that you know, these Yeshua Hashem Behimatzo Kra'u Bioso Karov, that you know, this refers to the Aseres Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim. This refers to the period of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and that in that period of time, there's a special relationship to tshuva, and a special, especially conducive for effective tshuva, as we'll get back to in just a minute. And therefore, people used to parcel out. They would do. The minhag became, since the Rambam wrote 10 chapters, I guess they were assuming that this is the reason that he wrote 10 chapters. I'm not sure that that, I don't know that it isn't true, but I don't know that that is true either. It certainly doesn't write that. But, you know, to every day there should be a different chapter, which meant that on Yom Kippur, or if it was Erev Yom Kippur, they would read the 10th chapter. One would think that, you know, either Yom Kippur or the preparation for Yom Kippur, that would be the, you know, the sea, that would be the, with a sin, that would be the climax, let's say, of immersion in Hilchos Tshuva, because the Rambam himself says in Hilchos Tshuva, here we have this in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, here on page 3, the Rambam says that Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachid U'L'Rabim. You know, actually, we'll start earlier with the, you know, the bigger justification. It's at the top of this page. So the beginning of page 3, line 1, is the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Vav through Tes. Halacha Vav is Afa Pisha Tshuva Vatsa'aka Yafa Li'olam. Even though Tshuva and Tsa'aka are both always beneficial, we'll say, Ba'asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, in the 10 days that joins Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Rambam says the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's the expression, as we know, that the Gemara uses. The Marsha already points out that it's an interesting expression, we've talked about it other years, almost as if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both, you know, the beginning and the end of the period, and they're also incorporated into the period. But either way, he yafe biyoser. It's even more appropriate and even more conducive. Umit kabelet he miyat. Shenemar dushu Hashem behimatzo. And then, based on the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Yudches, the Gemara says b'med var murim biyachid. Aval tibor kolzman sheosim tshuva zoakin b'leiv shalem. Heim nanim shenemar kashem alokenu b'chol kiraenu elav. Okay. So this is, you know, established in the Gemara that there's a special, that's what we call it, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that there's a special connection of Rosh Hashanah, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and culminating in Yom Kippur, with Tshuva. And therefore Halacha Zayin, which continues in this vein, says that Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachid U'L'Rabim. Yom HaKippurim is like, you know, the quintessential day of tshuva for individuals and for the tzibur. V'hu keitz mechila uslicha Yisrael. This is just the language of the Rambam. It's based in part on some Gemaras, but mostly it's his own construction, which is always very interesting. Yom Kippur is the day, the quintessential day of Tshuva for Yochanan Rabim, and it's the culmination of Mechila and Slicha Yisrael. And then Rambam says, Lefikach, therefore, Chayavim Hakol Lasos Tshuva Ulehisvados B'Yom HaKippurim. And therefore the Rambam says everybody is obligated to do tshuva and to do vidui on Yom Kippur. It doesn't sound like that is, you know, a particularly controversial statement based on what came before and based on the way that we all perceive tshuva and Yom Kippur. However, it actually is a very significant comment. The only time in all of Hilchos Tshuva that the Rambam uses the expression that there's an obligation to do tshuva is right here with respect to Yom Kippur. Typically, and this is very well known, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Koteret to Hilchos Tshuva, and Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and Sefer Mitzvos, which I didn't produce here. But if you look at Perek Aleph for a moment, that's on, everything is backwards, intentionally so, a little bit. So the Rambam here, this is in the middle, on page 2, right, you see the Koteret, Hilchos Tshuva Mitzvos Aseh Achas, V'hu is line 4, thank you. V'hu sheyashuv hachotei mecheto lefnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. This is very famous. The Rambam says, when you do tshuva, you should also, or you should focus on vidui, and it's even clearer in Sefer Mitzvos and in Halacha Aleph, number 7. Kol mitzvos sheve Torah, bein asei ben lo sasei, all the mitzvos of the Torah, whether they be positive or negative, im avar adam malachas mehen, bein bezadum bein bishkaga, kishe yasa tshuva, the Rambam assumes tshuva, v'yashuv mecheto, and he, basically distances himself, rejects his state of sin, chayav l'hitvadot lefnei HaKel Baruch Hu, shenemar isho isha ki yasu, v'yisvadu eschat asam asher asu, ze vidui dvarim, vidui ze mitzvah saseh, ketzim misvadin, and so on. So this is, of course, the famous view of the Rambam, that he zeroes in not on the obligation to do tshuva. For example, if you look at the Ramban in the parsha of Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, what is the mitzvah? Lo rechoka hi, lo ne'evar layam, right? Lo b'shamayim hi, b'ficho b'vavcha la so-so. So Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, says the Ramban, is the mitzvah of doing tshuva. B'ficha, as opposed to Bilvavcha, is a reference to vidui, but basically the focus is doing tshuva. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, so he actually held that there are two mitzvahs of tshuva, one Kol Shana, one on Yom Kippur. He holds that Ki Bayom Hazeh Ichaper Lechem, all of that in the, you know, formulation of Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, that the words Lifnei Hashem Titaru are an imperative. That's a chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. But basically, again, you know, vidui is part of the mechanism, but for most of the Rishonim, there's an obligation to do tshuva, and the Rambam typically, in the Koteret Sefer Mitzvos, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, speaks not of the obligation to do tshuva, but the obligation within tshuva, which is a given, actually to focus on vidui. And this, you know, triggered a massive discussion among the Mefarshim. Why did he do this? It seems counterintuitive. Tshuva seems to be what's important. Vidui seems to be just a vehicle. If I get a chance, I'll get back to that. The Mabit in Kiryat Sefer, the Sefer that he wrote on the Rambam, and then in his Sefer Beis Elokim, where he speaks about Hilchos Tshuva, among other things, Hilchos Tshuva, Hilchos Tefillah, and he talks about Ikari Emuna, but he has a very long section also on Hilchos Tshuva. So the Mabit tries to make the point that the Rambam's view is that there's a mitzvah of vidui and tshuva, or tshuva and vidui. But the simple reading of the Rambam is that at least the focal point, the chiyuv, is the chiyuv to do vidui when you are doing tshuva. The only time in all of Hilchos Tshuva, that part is well known. What's less well known is what I'm telling you now, and that is that it's right here to see, but like many things, unless you are looking for it, or unless it strikes you, you know, you can miss it. The only time the Rambam speaks about a chiyuv to do tshuva is on Yom Kippur. And that's Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, what we just read, page 3, number 7, Yom Kippur Muzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachad L'Rabim, Huketz Mechila L'Slicha L'Yisrael, Lefika Chayavin HaKol La'asos Tshuva U'L'Hisvados V'Yom HaKippurim. Okay. As it happens, and I think this fits, I'm not going to speak about this part tonight, U'Mitzvahs V'Di Yom HaKippurim, She'yatcho Me'erav Yom, Kodim Sheyochal, how many times you say Vidui on Yom Kippur. But actually what's fascinating is that the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Ches, the next Halacha, number 12, says, HaVidui Shenagu Bo Kol Yisrael Aval Anachnu Chatanu Hu Ikar HaVidui. So what's fascinating is if you look in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, there the Rambam has a very long Vidui. Right, the Rambam says, "Vidu zimitzas haseh, ketzad misvadin." This is line 9 on page 2. Omer ana Hashem chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha asisi kach v'kach hari nichamti uboshti b'masai l'olam eni chozul adavar zeh zehu ikaro shel vidui. B'kol amar b'lehisvados, almost like the same, tzif sipri tzias mitzrayim. B'kol amar b'lehisvados umarich b'inyan zeh harez neshubach. Okay. Rambam says by Bikurim, he says it by, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, he says about Vidui in Tshuva. So imagine you have such a long, extensive, Vidui, and then the day that there's a Chiyuv to do Tshuva, the Rambam says, HaVidui Shenagu Bo Kol Yisrael, based on certain Gemaras, Aval Anachnu Chatanu Hu Ikar HaVidui. So I think that the short answer, I haven't explained yet, but is that for the Rambam, typically, vidui takes center stage in tshuva. Tshuva is a given. The person was chote. I'll get back to this point, but he's omeid b'mered, to use the language Ramban in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah, says of course a person has to do tshuva. Otherwise, he rebelled against the king, so he can't stay. He can't remain in a state of rebellion. The chait itself, which distances him. From the Rabbanu Shel Olam requires that he address, unacceptable, state of being, and that he do tshuva. Right. So the point is that for the Rambam, the assumption is that he has to do tshuva, and that's kind of a given, right? Hu she yashuva chote mechet asol lifnei Hashem, and then the emphasis is on the yisvadeh, and that's also what he means in Halacha Aleph. Kishe yasa tshuva v'yashuv mecheto, that's the given, chayev l'hisvados. But the only time that he ever zeroes in on a chiyuv to do tshuva, which is Yom Kippur, that's when the vidui, I would say non-existent, but it's a very brief vidui. And the answer is because there the focus is on the tshuva itself. Okay. Yom Kippur, is a date in the calendar. He's not responding, at least not, in the near, time to the Avera that he did, right? That's Perek Aleph. He's responding to the calendar date of Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, about which the Rambam, describes based on the Gemara, but he chose to emphasize this and had enormous, impact on just how to look at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is the Rambam in Perek Beis, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam explains, again, we all know this, but part of the reason we know this is because of the Rambam, line number 21. Line number 19, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam talks about how it is that you weigh a person's status in terms of his chuyos and his chiyubim. So then in line 21, he says, ukashem sheshoklim tzchuyas adar v'avonosav b'shas misaso, kach kol shana v'shana, shoklin avonos kol echad v'yachad mibay ha'olam, im tzchuyosav v'yom tov shal Rosh Hashanah. You know, that's, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin, and it's, you know, the day when your life is over, so you go to Bezin Shel Mala, right, and they assess your, you know, overall merits and so on. And every Rosh Hashanah, right, during hopefully a long, you know, joyous life, every individual is also judged in the same way. That's part of what Rosh Hashanah, that's what we mean. We say Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. It doesn't say this in the Torah. It doesn't say much about Rosh Hashanah at all in the Torah. It's a day of Zichron Trua. It's a Yom Trua, you know, Yielachem. Ramban, in his Perush al HaTorah and in his Drash al Rosh Hashanah, you know, examines what does Zichron Trua mean. Tells us that it's one of the most difficult phrases in the Parshas HaMoadim, very hard to figure out. If you look at all the Perushim that were given to the word Zichron Trua, you know, it's evident every single Mefarish had difficulty. Well, the words themselves, objectively, just hard to translate. Like, what does that mean to call a day of Zichron, you know, Trua? Yom Trua Yelachem, at least, you know, a little bit better. Even that is pretty difficult to decipher. So Ramban says that the word Trua mostly, or Zichron Trua, means Yom Adin. Okay? And that's what the Rambam is emphasizing here, Duchas Tshuva. Kishem sheshoklim tzchuyos adam v'avonos v'shas misaso, kach b'kol shana v'shana shoklim v'avonos kol echad v'yachad, mibayolim. This is based on a Gemara on Yud Zayin, and based on Rosh Hashanah. But there are quite a few Gemaras that give different impressions about what the real focal point of Rosh Hashanah is. It's interesting that that became the normative one for the Rambam, and because of the Rambam, for others, im zchuyosa biyom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. Mishenim tzadik nechtam l'chaim, mishenim tzarasha nechtam l'misa, v'abeinoni tolenoso ad yom kippurim imasa tshuva nechtam l'chaim, v'im lav nechtam l'misa. And then, of course, the Rambam continues in an equally famous passage, Halakha Daled, where he sees tkiya shofar as a call to tshuva. And again, that's a chiddush. It's based on things, but the formulation is the Rambam's own, and it became very influential. Afa pisha tkiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasuv, remez yesh bo. Rambam says we don't really know 100% why we blow shofar. Psajigon actually lists 10 different themes of tkiya shofar, but the Rambam's emphasis is that even though it's gzeres hakasuv, there's a remez, klomar, uri yishena mishinaskem, nirdamim makitzu mitardim oseichem, right, wake up from your slumber, stir yourself, you know, to cheshvan nefesh and to action if required, chipsu b'maseichem, right, investigate your actions, v'chizru b'tshuva, v'zichru barachem, elo ashokchim esemes b'havli azman, v'shogim kol shenasam v'hevel barik, right, people get sloppy, people get, preoccupied with things of lesser or no value, and they lose focus in terms of what is important. Vasher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, right? Habitu l'nafshoseichem. This is a time of cheshvan nefesh. Vativu darkechem u'malechem biyazov kolechem mechem darka hara u'machshavaso asher lo tova. It's a time to assess, and it's a time to turn your back on averos, but also on Makshavos she'inan tovos, bad attitudes or bad values. Lefikach tzor kol adam shiira atzma kol hashana kula kilu chetzio, zaka v'chetzio chayiv, v'chein kol adam chetzio zaka v'chetzio chayiv. Chet chot echad harei echriya es atzmo v'es kol adam kula lakav chova. People should, you know, feel that their actions are going to impact everybody else's. V'garam lo ashchasa. Also mitzvah achas, hari echriya atzmo v'es kol olam kulu l'kafskus v'garam lo v'lahem tshuva v'hatzala. Shenemar v'tzadik yisod olam, zeh she tzadik, it should be, echriyas kol olam l'zakos v'hitzilu. Umipnei inyan zeh nogu kol beis Yisrael harbos b'tzdako masim tovim v'lasok b'mitzvos m'roshana v'yadei Yom Kippurim yeser mikol hashana. That's why the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days in which we add mitzvos v'nogu kulam lakum b'layla v'asar yamim v'nus palav b'batei knesios b'divrei tachnunim v'kibushin ad sheyoreh. That's where slichos comes from, etc. So the Rambam makes it perfectly clear that Rosh Hashanah, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and culminating with Yom Kippur, between Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, the Rambam makes it very clear that between the beginning of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these are days of self-evaluation and days to preoccupy oneself in tshuva. And the Chiddush of the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, is that being that the motivation here is that this is a period of judgment and assessment, right, rather than, what goes on all year long, where a person, is just responding to the improper, conduct or the averos that he commits. And of course, if he hasn't yet, then they're on the docket and he should be looking at them. But the point is that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur stirs its own Cheshbon HaNefesh, and therefore, according to the Rambam, Lefika, that's the big word, Lefika Chayavim Hakol Lasos Tshuva Ulizvados B'Yom HaKippurim. The expectation that, the culmination of this, testing process or evaluation, that you would engage in Cheshbon HaNefesh, and that would include Tshuva, that, is something that isn't the regular or the typical tshuva, although it's all one mitzvah. The Ram doesn't count multiple. Unlike Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ram doesn't have a mitzvah for kol shana of tshuva, a vidui, and then a chiyuv, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. The Rambam thinks that the chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur and the, what I'll call, and I'll try to get back to it later, the methodology of focusing on the vidui when you do tshuva in the context of an egregious transgression that you need to address, kol shana, that these are two sides of the same coin. So what I'm trying to establish so far is that there is tshuva kol shana, and when the Rambam says that beginning Rosh Hashanah culminating Yom Kippur, then it's azman yafe yoser the tshuva, and that Yom Kippur there's a chiyuv tshuva, and therefore even the vidui of Yom Kippur is downplayed because the chiyuv, kind of eclipses it, and that this entire period is conducive in that way. So it's clear that this is an acute time for tshuva. Lecha Mishnah, highlights this even further a little bit when he says two interesting things. I think I have them here in Halacha Gimel. He's troubled by the following. Right, the Rambam says, this is on, the Lecha Mishnah is on page 4, but getting back to page 3 for just a second, the Rambam says about, in line 23 on page 3, the Habenoni tolin oso ad Yom HaKippurim, imasa tshuva nechtam l'chayim, v'im lav nechtam l'misa. What's a Benoni? Okay, man, it's hard to imagine a little bit, but, unless it's a kind of a range, but earlier, the Rambam says a Beinoni is somebody who's like balanced between, he's not a tzaddik and he's not a rasha, like his masim tovim to his averos, are in balance. The Rambam also explains that this isn't a quantitative, measure. Right? The Rambam says that the way that you evaluate averos, depends on the quality of the avera too. So there's probably Beinoni doesn't mean you're in perfect, quantitative balance or even probably qualitative balance. It's a kind of a range. But what's fascinating is that the Rambam says that the Beinoni is tola, his fate is left in abeyance, and is contingent upon, his behavior until Yom Kippur. But imlav nechtam l'misa. So the question is, he's a Beinoni. So like he's half, whatever that means. He's, equal parts, Zoche and Chayiv, so why should he be Nechtam, Lemisa? So it's just very interesting that the Lecha Mishnah discusses this question, as do others. The Lecha Mishnah on page 4, number 2, says, "Im toma kilo asa tshuva, mai nechtam lenisa, hamachza almachza." And not only that, but Rav Chesed Mate Klape Chesed, the Rabban Shalom is a Rachman, and he has Chesed, so it's 50-50, he should be Mako. Right? Kvar Tirtzuva said, "Dehecha de lo asa tshuva, hava avon, echad, nosaf, al avonos." Bishun de ve'elo asari yamin, shal tshuva, uchayev lasos tshuva. That's kind of a clever, interesting answer. I'm interested in the moment because I'm trying to show that the, you know, when we speak of these aseres yemei tshuva, you know, and the Rambam says that there's a chiyuv on Yom Kippur, the Lecha Mishnah is taking it so seriously that he's using it to kind of explain, you know, why, you know, a Beinoni who ignores the opportunity, you know, is no longer a Beinoni. Right. By the squandering of the opportunity to do tshuva on Yom Kippur is itself machriya lekafchova. And in similar fashion, also very interesting, the Rambam, the Lecha Mishnah in Halacha Dalid, says, you know, that, you know, the remez, as we discussed, of shofar is uri yishenim mishinaschem, to stir you to do tshuva. And Lecha Mishnah very pointedly adds umipnei inyan zeh klomar umipnei shofar mazirin brash hashana lechapes b'masav lekach be'elo asar yamim tzorich lasos mitzvos umasim tovim. Meaning, if you heard the shofar, you know, and it didn't awaken you from your slumber, then that's a problem. Meaning, the trigger to do more is the shofar itself. So the experience and the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah already, and certainly of Yom Kippur. The Sefer Chinuch says something very, very similar to the Lecha Mishnah, but specifically about Yom Kippur. He says that you know, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva kol shana, right? As we know, and then in, you know, the Chinuch always, you know, in the end tells you, you know, what the onshim are and what happens in avar velo. So he says if avar velo shav the Yom Kippur, there is a bitel mitzvahs asay shel tshuva. Meaning all year round, when you don't do tshuva, you're not mevatel mitzvahs asay. Right? It's a shaval tasa. I mean, you refrained, you abstained, you know, from doing tshuva. But on Yom Kippur, when you ignore the opportunity, it's like you're proclaiming, you know, that, you know, you are rejecting tshuva. So there's a certain added, a different kind of dynamic, is what I'm trying to say, of the tshuva of Yom Kippur and beginning Rosh Hashanah, including Yom Kippur, because it's about the importance of the days and the relationship and the assessment. But clearly, that different dynamic makes more acute the obligation to do tshuva than even Kol Hashanah, and that's why even in the very, very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Aleph. In other words, the first three prakim, the Rambam speaks about Tshuva Kol Shana, and he keeps getting back to, like, the special opportunities, vehicles, you know, the special structures, you know, that apply only on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, for example, in Perek Aleph, when he talks about the general din of tshuva, kol mitzvah shel Torah bein aseh bein lo aseh, this is on page 2 again, line 7, he starts off speaking very generally, very universally, and already by halacha base, he speaks about the karbonos. Already in halacha base, he's speaking specifically about Yom Kippur. Sira Mishtaleach is line 16, lefishu kaparo kol Yisrael, kon gadol mitzvah dolev, al lishon kol Yisrael, shenemar, etc. And the whole halacha is dedicated to, again, this isn't Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, right? This is Hilchos Tshuva. Like Rambam can't, you know, on the one hand they're different, he's always showing that there are lekula, lechumra, just differences in the dynamic of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, especially Yom Kippur and everything else, but it's always brought, you know, to the forefront. And then, again, halacha gimel, b'zman hazeh, shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim, Ein Lanu Mizbeach Kapara, Ein Shem Vala Tshuva, right, so Tshuva Mechaperes Ol Averos, Afilu Rasha Kol Yamav, and so on. But again, in the end of that halacha, line 25, V'atzmo Shel Yom HaKippurim, even Bizman HaZeh, that remains, because he was speaking about the Siyur Mishtaleach, who's having a special role in Tshuva. So it's Atzmo Shel Yom HaKippurim, Mechaper L'Shavim, Shenemar Ki B'Yom HaZeh Yechaper Alecha. And then halacha Dalid, and he goes through Yeshaveros Miskapim Lishaiton, Yeshaveros Shem Miskapim, the dynamic of how tshuva works. When is it immediate? When is it delayed? When does it need some sort of combination? But once again, the Rambam puts it through the system, like how does it work generally with regular Kabbalas, and how does it work, you know, particularly with either the Mesirah Mishtaleach or Atzmo Shel Yom HaKippur. So the whole thrust of the Rambam in the first three prakim of Hilchos Tshuva is kind of like a yin and a yang, you know, Tshuva Kol Shana, Tshuva Yom Kippur, Tshuva Kol Shana, Tshuva Yom Kippur, etc. Ah. So I think it's just very interesting, getting back to how I started. I said I was starting backwards, but, you know, with Perek Yud. It's interesting that the last, that chapter number 10, and this part already isn't the Rambam's fault, but, you know, the minhag, you know, of Klal Yisrael, it's not a fault, but it's just an like, interesting irony. And, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, the hashgacha and these things, and, you know, I guess the principle of, you know, puk chazi, you know, ma madabar, that, you know, somehow the things that Klal Yisrael do, you know, are somehow appropriate, you know, and consistent, you know, with the themes. So it's just, you know, more than ironic, and I want to kind of address this, even though I'm not really addressing this. I'm addressing, you know, a broader underlying principle, even if this part is not correct. But it is ironic that, like, you know, day number 10, which is Kates Mechilo Slicha, the, you know, Liyachid Ulatzibor, the day of the Chiyuv, the day of the Sirah Mishtaleach, the day of Atzmo Shel Yom HaKippurim, all of which play such outsized role in Kapara and in Tshuva. So we would expect that, you know, the Perek Yud itself would reflect all of that. In fact, not only is there no mention of Yom Kippur, that doesn't trouble me, there's no mention of Tshuva in all of Perek Yud. So I've portrayed this question, you know, hopefully dramatically, intentionally dramatically in a certain way, but you could dispense with all of that if you want, and just, you know, I can reformulate the question a little bit differently. The Rambam wrote, you know, the Rambam composed Hilchos Tshuva. Let's be clear about this also. I mean, there is no, you know, Masechta Tshuva, as we know. There are, you know, comments about Tshuva, some of them the end of Masechet Yoma, right? And of course, strewn throughout Shas. And the Rambam, you know, collected them, you know, from near and from far, and he, you know, reorganized them, and he, on his own, you know, constructed a magnificent 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. Okay, the 10 intentional or not, you know, hard to know, but either way, 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. Everything he did about Tshuva, the organization, was his own, basically. I mean, the sources are in Chazal, they're in Gemaras, they're in Midrashim, etc. You know, but there's a lot of the Rambam's imprimatur, is what I'm trying to say, in all aspects of Hilchos Tshuva. It's hard for us to completely understand this. Let me make it clear. There were people who wrote about Hilchos Tshuva before the Rambam, but nothing comparable. You know, very short, you know, comments. We're a little bit, you know, we live in a post-Rambam era, like in everything else, and therefore it's hard to kind of imagine, you know, a pre-Rambam era in general. But it's something like Hilchos Tshuva, for sure. Everybody who wrote about Hilchos Tshuva after the Rambam related to what the Rambam wrote, whether it's Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, or the Meiri and his Chibur HaTshuva, and of course anybody who wrote individually about these topics, you couldn't ignore, you couldn't but be tremendously impacted by what the Rambam you know, produced. But what he produced was his own initiative, and therefore his fingerprints, his imprimatur, as I said before, are all over this. And therefore the structure and the order and the decisions, the editorial decisions, what to put in, what not to put in, are all volitional. It's not like he was following, you know, someone else's script, the Mishnayos, a Masechta, a Perek, etc. Okay, so having said that, if you look at Hilchos Tshuva, and there are 10 chapters, so it begins pretty much, you know, structurally the way you would expect, you know, with a discussion of the obligation to do tshuva as a response to chataim. We weren't, you know, expecting the centrality of vidui, and that is problematic just as an idea in its own right, how that squares with other gemaras and other concepts, and that's, you know, part of what absorbed, you know, the mefarshim. But at least we're talking about, you know, classical cases of tshuva, and, you know, the mix of Seros Yimei Tshuva and Tshuva Kol Shana, the steps of tshuva, and the Rambam, you know, speaks about tshuva gemura, and, you know, in first, second, third prakim, and through Articles Tshuva, there's obviously many things there that are about the nuts and bolts of different aspects of tshuva. However, you would have expected that the last chapter, you know, which is the crescendo one, I was just accentuating it more because people have this minug, you know, to split it up in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so this is the Yom Kippur one. So even more so, you would have expected that this be, you know, the, you know, finale, the climax, you know, of bringing home certain principles, you know, about, you know, tshuva and kapara. Instead, now if we look on page 1, this is a chapter about Avas Hashem. And that is very remarkable. Rambam says, Al yomar adam areini osem mitzvos haTorah v'yosek b'chokhmasa. People shouldn't say, I involve myself in Torah and in mitzvos, kedei she'akabel kol ha'brachos ha'ksuvos ba, or kedei she'ezkeh l'chai olam haba, so I can, you know, reap the benefits, the rewards, the schar in this and next world. Right, the Ephrosh min Averos Shazira Torah, Kadesha Inatzel, Miraklalos Aksuvas Batorah, O Kadesha Lo Ikares, Michay Olam Abba, Ein Ra'ila Avodas Hashem Al Derech Hazeh, Sha'oved Derech Zeh, Oved Meira, the Ein Amalas HaNavim, Lo Malas HaChakamim, Ein Ovidim Hashem Al Derech Zeh, La Ami Haaretz, Hanashim, Vaktanim, Shemechanchin Osam Lav Od Meira, Ad Shisrabe Daitan, Miav Dumiav. So right, you can see from the beginning of the parak, this there's no mention here of tshuva. This is about an approach, broadly speaking, to avodas Hashem, and the approach should be not meyira and not kedei lekabel sachar. Right, you know, the Antigonus Yisocho and the Mishnah and Avos. Right, al tiu kavodim hamisham shenas harav. You know, amanas lekabel pras. Or I'm just going to quote that here. But rather, it should be, you know, the Shema sincerely out of love. Ha'oved me'ava, this continues. Osik b'Torah b'mitzvos v'holech b'nesivos ha'chachma, lo m'pnei davar ba'ola, without any other motivation, lo m'pnei yiras ha'ra, lo k'dei liras ha'tova, osa ha'emes, he engages in truth, m'pnei shu emes, v'sof ha'tov, ha'tova, lovo b'glala. U'mal azuhi ma'ila g'dola mi'od, this is a tremendous level, the Ein Kol Chacham Zochela, even every Chacham is not able to attain it. He Malas Avram Avinu Shekara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ohavo Shelo Avad Ela Miava Bi Amalas Shetzivanu Ba Kadosh Baruch Hu Aidei Moshe Be'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Right, Bizman Shiyahu Vadam Esahava Ruuya Miyad Yaseh Kol Anitzos Miava. This is about Asiyas Mitzvos Limud Torah, the motivation Miava. Beautiful formulations here, very passionate, very striking, very aspirational. Ava gedola yisera aza miod, like a fierce and great love. Ad shete nafsho kshura b'avas Hashem, so that his, you know, his very soul is bound up with the love of God. Benimsa shoge batamid. Like a lovesick, you know, individual, it's constantly on his mind. She'ein daita pnuya mi'avas osa isha. Mushoga batamid, like a person who is obsessed romantically, right? Vein b'shifto, vein b'kumo, vein b'shashu ocha, b'shosa. He's obsessed, but that's obviously, you know, to a certain extent, an unhealthy kind of thing. And the focus on transcendence, on the Ribbono Shel Olam, is avas Hashem. Yes, and mizeh tia avas Hashem b'leibo avav, shogim ba tamid kemo shetzibanu b'chol avavka b'chol nafshecha, b'husha shloma madalech mashal, ki cholas avani, b'kol shir ashirin mashal hu l'inyan zeh, etc. Anyways, we don't have so much time, so I'm not going to read the whole perek, although we're halfway through. He goes on to talk about, you know, again, Antigonus ish socho, and so on. And then finally he, you know, he wraps it all up here in Halacha Vav, Dov Yadu Barurus, line 31, She'ein avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu niksheres b'libo shel adam ad sheyishke batamid kira'ui v'yazov kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimena kemo sheziva b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha ein oev HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela b'das sheyeda'eu. Big chiddush of the Rambam, very, very typical of his general thinking. Ava is a result of yediya, of studying and of immersing yourself in knowledge of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says this in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Gimel. He says it in Perek Beis of Chassidei Torah. He says it in Mor Nevuchim. Al pi adas tia ava. The more you know, the more you love. Imat ma'at, imarbe harbe. Lefikach tzarech adam liyachid atzmo. Therefore, the methodology of ava is limud and yediya. Lahavin lahaskil b'chokmos u'tzvunos hamadiyim lo eskono. And this is basically the culmination of Hilchos Tshuva. And not only Hilchos Tshuva, because Hilchos Tshuva is the conclusion of Sefer Mada. I should also mention that what comes after Sefer Mada? Sefer Ava, which the Rambam begins with a little, you know, ditty on the top. You know, Ma'ahafti Torah Secha, Kalayomi Sichasi. So the whole Perek Yud, the last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, is shocking in a way. There's not a word about Tshuva. I was adding before, and this is like the Yom Kippur of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Limud. Where's the Tshuva? Right? Ketzman, Mechila, you know, L'kol Yochid, L'kol Rabin, L'fika, Chayiv Lasos, Tshuva. From an Avas Hashem point of view, too, this is peculiar. No one will deny, everybody understands, that, you know, the principle of Avas Hashem has to be a cardinal, you know, tenet, you know, in Yahadus, of course. I mean, the Rambam, you know, in Sefer Mitzvos, it's hard to know what the order in Sefer Mitzvos is at a certain point. It's certainly not according to the Parshios, like Sefer Achinuch, and it's not, you know, completely organized, but certainly the Rambam begins with the most important. The first one is Mitzvah Aleph and Taryag Mitzvos for the Rambam is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Mitzius Hashem. And the second one is Yichud Hashem. Right? It starts off with the minimum theological truths in the positive side, negative side of Odezara, right? Then what's number three? Avas Hashem. Yahafsas Hashem Elokecha. What's number four? Yiras Hashem. Okay? In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam's Perek Aleph, which means what it says, the cardinal principles of the Torah, right at the beginning of Sefer Mada, is magnum opus, right? So the Rambam begins with Yisodei HaTorah. Perek Aleph is all about theology, the existence of God, Yichud Hashem, proper beliefs about the essence of the divine. And Perek Beis is Ezehu Derech Avaso the Yerasa. Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis, actually it's a very interesting phenomenon. The Rambam typically, you know, is unbelievably organized. And he doesn't jumble or bundle, you know, mitzvos together. So, you know, typically when he has, when he's at whatever mitzvah is the mitzvah, and then he describes it, and then he moves on to the next mitzvah. As it happens, when it comes to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, he puts them together. He says, "Mitzvah la'ahavo uli'iro." So, okay, and he explains it, and then he says, "Ketzad mitzvas avaso v'yiraso," and he explains. So halacha Aleph and Beis, of Perek Beis of the Sodia Torah, is a bundling of mitzvah number 3 and number 4. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and the Rambam explains why he does it, and that is because he thinks that in practice, but more important, that also reflects conceptually, there is a relationship between Abba and Yira. And there's many cultures you could think, you know, Abba has a certain connotation of accessibility and joy, and Yira, you know, typically is about distance, you know, and you know, recoil and fear and so on. And, you know, for the Rambam, what he's trying to explain is that for Yadus, Ivduas Hashem b'Yira, Ivduas Hashem b'Simcha, you know, these are, they're different, but more than they're different, they're the same, right? And frankly, we'll get back to this, this is clear, and this is evident, you know, nowhere more, in a way, than in the Yom HaNoroi. Okay. When the Rambam wants to explain that there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in Hilchos Chanukah, he says, Ein Bahem, you know, Simcha Yisera. But I always like quoting the language of Pirush Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, which I think is, you know, even more powerful. But the Rambam says, these are days, where he talks about the Mishnah that says there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. So he says, because these are days of Yira and Fachad, right? And they're days of Yiras Hashem, Upachad Mimenu, Umanos, Umivrach Elav. These are days where we are, you know, panicked, and therefore, you know, we exhibit, you know, a great sense of reverence, and that reverence, you know, leads to taking, you know, refuge. They're days of Yiranaba, basically. So, anyways, the Rambam speaks about Avas Hashem, what I'm trying to say, in Sefer Mitzvos, in Sefer Mada itself, in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, right, you know, after he concludes Hilchos Tshuva, the whole book is an expression of Avas Hashem, Ma'afti, Torah Secha, Kol Yom Sichasi. It's called Sefer Ava, that is Mada, and then Ava, that comes, of course, you know, Zmanim, and you know, all the books of the Rambam. So it's not like the Rambam doesn't have any other place, you know, to put. He's already dealt with Avas Hashem in a very powerful way, frankly, in the beginning of the Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, and Sefer Mitzvos. He's going to deal with it again. Why does it need to be the focal point of, and why is it appropriate as the culmination of Hilchos Tshuva? That's the quandary that we want to address. I spent a lot of time formulating the quandary, not so much time to solve it. Okay. So I'd like to say is several overlapping things. I think they're all true and they're all connected. You know, we'll see to how many we get to. So the first point I want to make is that I think, this is speculation on my part, I hope it's intelligent speculation. I'm not sure if it needs to be compelling speculation, but there's an interesting other mystery, you know, an intriguing mystery in the Rambam. As I said, the Rambam formulated 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. He wasn't holding back, right? If anything, you know, he expanded the concept of tshuva, and he scoured Shas and Chazal, you know, for references, all of which he threw in and all. There are many dinim of Hilchos Tshuva. It's not so clear that they are technically and narrowly Hilchos Tshuva halachas. They're there. As we're talking now about the whole Perek Yud being about basically avoda me'ava, it's not so clear, there's not a word about, the word tshuva doesn't appear there. It's not clear that this has anything to do with tshuva. But it's not only that. In Perek Hei, for example, of you know, of Hilchos Tshuva, right smack in the middle, the Bria HaTichon, they could say, is all about Bechira. It's all about free choice. Of course, the Rambam explains, you know, there can be no Schar and Onesh without free choice. So it really is the Bria HaTichon. It really is the cement that holds everything together. Nonetheless, the discussion of free choice is very expansive. The Rambam speaks about tshuva you know, of actions. And he also speaks about, you know, tshuva of, you know, deos, ro'os, and midos, you know, megunos. There's a lot of overlap between nechos tshuva and nechos deos, you know, frankly. What I'm trying to say is that the Rambam, I'll say what I said before, but I've just hopefully explained it better, the Rambam didn't hold back Hilchos Tshuva. He wasn't, you know, trying to save, you know, ink and paper. He wasn't looking, you know, to minimize, you know, this area of halakha. He very consciously, intentionally, you know, expanded it. So when he omits, you know, a very striking expression of tshuva, it's puzzling. Okay, what did he omit? So one of the most famous gemaras, one of the most difficult gemaras, and that's maybe why he did this, about tshuva, is a gemara in Yoma, Andaf, Peivav, Amud Beis. That appears here on page 4. Page 4, line 15-16. You know, let's go earlier even. The first expression of it is in Peivav Amud Aleph, so let's go with that. Line 8 and 9 for the moment. Rabbi Chama v'Rabchanina Rami. Yes, Astira. Ksiv shuvu bonim shovavim. The implication is bonim shovavim means they're, you know, mischievous, I guess. You know, they do the wrong thing, but they're mischievous. Dimikara shovavim atem. Like we're assessing, you know, these transgressions, these infractions, and we're characterizing them as shovavim. Uksiv erpa, right, mishuvo sechem. Sounds like that, you know, you need real, there was a real avera. It wasn't just, you know, mischief. It wasn't just, you know, like a shogeg or ones, but it was a real avera. Says the Gemara Lokasha. Kan mi ava, kan mi yira. So this Gemara seems to say that when a person does tshuva me'ava, that, you know, redefines, you know, how, in retrospect, you know, we look at the avera itself. If he does tshuva me'ira, we take it at face value. That's a simple reading of this Gemara. If you look at Rashi, line 11, 12, Dimi karishovim matem kishatasa tshuva male aleichem. Once you do tshuva, then in retrospect, we look at it as if ki'ilu tchilas achet al yidei nairus, ushtus, the shovavus. Like we're dismissive of the original motive or the quality of the sin. On the other hand, it says, Ksid erpa, Mishuvo sefem, Mashu mekan bielech, Kibal mum, shenisrape, shemiksas shmolov. It needs to be healed. You know, it's apparently more than just, you know, a mischievous manifestation. So, kan me'aba, shav me'aba, ne karavona mitchilasa. Good. But then the Gemara goes even further on the Amud Beis. Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, line 16, Gedola tshuva shezdonos nasas lo kishgagos. Tshuva is a very famous Gemara. Nothing more famous than this Gemara in terms of tshuva, but also nothing more probably perplexing. Tshuva is so great that if you do something, an avera b'mezid, intentionally, right, it is nasas lo kishgagos. We treat it as if he did it, you know, inadvertently. Accidentally. Shenemar Shuva Yisrael al Hashem Lokecha ki kashalta ba'avonecha. Right? Ha'avon, it says, you know, ba'avonecha. And avon means mezid. But kakarile nichshol, what do you mean ki kashalta ba'avonecha? The answer is, you know, basically, once he does tshuva, so in retrospect, we regard this as a mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, "Eini gomer shlokish gedola tshuva shezdonos nasas kizkuyos." That tshuva is so great that, you know, it turns averos b'mezid into merits. Shenemar ubeshuv rasha mirishaso v'yasa mishpat utzadaka aleihem yichye. Says the Gemara, "Lo kasha kan me'ava kan me'ir." So this is the very famous Gemara. This Gemara goes further than the Gemara of Peivav Amud Aleph. Peivav Amud Aleph seems to say that Tshuva Me'ava, as opposed to Me'ira, is Oker or turns an avera into mischief. And this Gemara is saying even further, that's already quite startling, that's already quite a gift, but this Gemara is saying more than that. This Gemara is saying it turns it into squeams. This din of tshuva me'aba, frankly, even the din of tshuva me'ira, is completely absent from the Rambam. It doesn't exist. And as I said, if the Rambam, you know, were skimping in Hilchos Tshuva, then it would be one thing. But a lot of the Divrei Haggadah on that same daf are quoted by the Rambam. And as I say, it doesn't sound like it's just Divrei Haggadah. It sounds like, you know, it's Magiyad Kisei HaKavod, it's, you know, Gadol Tshuva, you know, Shemaviyah, you know, Yemos HaMashiach, you know, Ha'Geula. I mean, the Rambam quotes a lot of that. But he doesn't quote this, which seems to also be more intriguing and maybe more substantive. We want to know what this is. Ah. So the question is why, and what does it mean? So I think one answer is that the Rambam just found it, was convinced, maybe, that this was, you know, just Divrei Haggadah, just kind of hyperbole, a way to encourage people to do tshuva. Because it's very difficult to understand, obviously, the logic of how something that is an infraction can turn out to be, you know, schuyos, is very difficult to understand. The difficulty with, you know, grappling with what this means is reflected in all the different, there's a whole literature trying to explain what it means. If you look at the Marsha, for example, he says, you can skip the line, He works hard to explain how, you know, tshuva me'avas donos nasos kishkagos. He thinks he can explain that. I'm not going to get into that right now. And then he says, aval b'samuch, this is line 25 of the end, aval b'samuch dekamar shesdonos naman 26, nasos kishkuyas hu l'chored over tamua, denimsachot de niskar. Right? There's also a moral problem, you know. If chait is a vehicle to produce, you know, skuyos, you know, so you get the benefit of enjoying the chet, you know, and the payoff of the skuyos. And even if you're not motivated and you're not going to do it, obviously that's cynical, it doesn't work then. But the point is, like how could this be? How could it be that a chote, you know, is niskar, meaning tzadikim gemurim, who are careful about what they do, you know, they're neutral, and this person who did Averos, right, all of a sudden he walks away with schuyos. Says the Marsha, interesting answer, the osa tshuva me'ava kidamasik, the b'hachi ayri, vaday de osa tshuva gemura, u'mosif b'masa v'atovim, yeser mechdei atzorech, legabe osan ovo, hare osa masim tovim, shemosif, he nasin lo kischuyos. Then he goes on to try to bring a raya for that. Clever answer. Marsha basically says, you know, if you look carefully in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, based on the Gemara's in Sanhedrin, so doing a proper tshuva, right, isn't just, you know, distancing yourself from the chet. Right? It is, you know, feeling mortified, truly, you know, having, you know, regrets, you know, and also it's a program, you know, to engage in, to compensate and to overcompensate. Says the Marsha, the overcompensation, you know, for the mortification, you know, the sense of being a chote, you know, leads you to end up doing more mitzvos. So in the aggregate, quantitatively, like you come out ahead, it produces chuyos. That's the Marsha's explanation. Interesting. The Avnei Miluim, in his Akdama to the Avnei Miluim, you know, quotes this Marsha. He says it's very difficult to accept it. It doesn't say in the Gemara, you know, that, you know, the consequence that, of...
That explanation just said it would work better for Shulam Yehira, not Shulam Yehira.
What do you mean?
The terrible fears that you're having
Well, even Shiva Me'arava, the point is that you want to be, you know, in good terms with the Ribono Shel Olam. You know, so...
like his personal feeling devastated and overwhelmed, and therefore he's going to go out of the trouble.
Right, the question is why? Are you overwhelmed because of, you're worried about the Onshim? Or are you worried because, like, how could I have done this to, you know, to the object, what should be the object? Right. No, we're saying, what he's saying is... No, he's saying, the way he's understanding Tshuva Shel Me'ira is more like, you don't want the punishment. You know, so you wish you hadn't done any of this. If you had known then what you know now, this is also the way that the Sefer Ikarim explains it. If I knew then what I know now, I would never have done this, because it wouldn't have been worth it for me, because of the Yiras HaOnesh. And therefore, in some respects, it's a kind of a shogeg, because it was an absence of really thinking out. If I had all the information, and if I was, you know, if I was where I am now, then I wouldn't have done this. That's tshuva me'ira. But what we're saying about tshuva me'ava is like you just mortified. You look at yourself in the mirror, you see a chote. You're not worried about the consequences. You're worried about the relationship. Like, what can I do, you know, to appease the Ribono Shel Olam and to get back in his good graces. So I marbe b'masim tovim. So what he's saying in the aggregate is, my time's running out, so let me get to some bigger punchline. The Avnei Miluim says that's not what it seems like in the Gemara. It seems like in the Gemara that the Averos themselves are the Skuyos, right? Not that because of the Avera, you know, you'll do squeals. Okay. There are all sorts of different, I put some of them here. Actually, one interesting one is the author of the Kapos Tmarim. I wrote here Yom Tshua. It's really, Yom Tshua is in his Rosh Hashanah book. It's all in the same sefer. But it's in his Yom Kippur book, actually. He says an interesting thing. The Yeshlis Bonein is line 6. Hey, Chefsha Shegufu Aver, Yaseh Zchus, or Yaseh Zchus. Like, how can, what does that mean? Like, you know, where it's magic, it's mirrors, how does this work? So he has an interesting idea. Kivan de tshuva gemurahi, right, ba'osa perek, meaning he's young, he you know, he still has the capacity to do the Avera, he did the Avera, now he's turning his back on it. He says a very interesting thing. The kivan shela avar, tom, tamachet, vihikir, v'mayim, gnuvan, nimtaku, different than the Marsha, but not so different. But what he basically says is the ability, once you have been, once you've had this experience, the experience itself creates a greater, you know, connection or compulsion, you know, to continue on that path. So if you do tshuva gemura, which means that, you know, finding yourself with the same opportunity, the same, you know, state of mind, and the same yetzer hara, you know, and still you're able to abstain, that abstention is more impressive, you know, than, you know, the tzaddik gomor, like, who's never had this experience. And therefore the level of temptation, you know, is lower. So again, these chuyos, basically the marsha, the yom trua, the etz chayim, the etz yosef, here talks about machshava tova, they're all trying to find, you know, somewhat rational explanations, you know, for what this is. So is it possible that the Rambam just wasn't satisfied, and, you know, he wasn't going to write something in his code that he felt was simply... Divrei Agada, that wasn't halachic. Possible. In my opinion, though, what really happened is something else. And that is that the Rambam understood tshuva me'ava, you know, to be something, genasis lo kizchuyos, in a very different way. He didn't think that it meant that the Avera turns into a zchus. He felt that it's possible to relate to the experience of chet in one of two ways. One way is, narrowly, you know, you have to address the chet, and you have to neutralize it, you know, and you have to take the proper steps to ensure it won't happen again, and there's tshuva gemura, and so on and so forth. The other way is also to let the experience of being distant from the Ribono Shel Olam, what Chazal say is a mechitza hamafsekes, you know, beino levein hamakom, sin disrupts the relationship. That sense of richuk and the panic, you know, that it engenders, can either lead to, you know, a greater, you know, corrosive, you know, result, you know, a person who's misyayish and he spirals, you know, completely, you know, out of control, or it can be, in the end of the day, constructive. The sin isn't constructive, but the total experience of sin and of coming to grips with the implication of being no longer bifnei Hashem, right? That can be, that can end up, you know, being an eye-opening experience that you never want to, you know, repeat. And therefore the aggregate can be beneficial. A person can find avas Hashem by having lived, you know, in this state of richuk, you know, recognizing what the alienation means, and that can be a powerful motivating force, and also just a powerful mechanism to identify, you know, what is avas Hashem. Meaning, what I'm trying to suggest is that the Rambam's Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva is his way of saying that the ultimate goal of tshuva is not merely to neutralize specific chataim. Tshuva itself is an avoda. And let's just remember what the Rambam really did. The Rambam wrote 10 large chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. He situated it in Sefer Mada. He could have put Hilchos Tshuva, you know, in Sefer Zmanim in the context of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. He could have put it in Sefer Avoda, you know, together with, you know, Dine Karbanos, Kapara, etc. Instead, he put it in Sefer Mada, right? In proximity of Hilchos Deos, Hilchos Talmud Torah, on the negative side, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam understood that the greatness of tshuva, the miracle of tshuva, the matana of tshuva, Yerushalmi and Makos explains, right, that tshuva is, you know, illogical. It's basically, you know, a miraculous gift. It, you know, defies the laws of cause and effect. Right? The Ribono Shel Olam told you not to do something, and there are consequences, charva onesh. And like there's this magical mechanism of tshuva, right, that that defies all of that. The Sefer Ikarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, writes in general about tshuva, but especially about tshuva me'ava. He says, like, I don't understand. You did the Aveira and you do tshuva so the Aveira didn't happen? Like, you know, it's you know, it's erased from history. Very powerful language that he uses. Like, how does the whole thing work? So the Rambam understood that tshuva, of course, is about neutralizing averos. But it's about much more than that. The neutralizing averos is the tip of the iceberg. That's the hu sheyasa tshuva. You can't be omeid b'mered. It's the opportunity, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean that chet is something to do for the opportunity. That doesn't work. If a person is chote, right, then to experience the sense of distance, right, and to be motivated, you know, not only to return, but to reestablish the relationship on different terms, right, this sense of urgency, you know, that you can't, you know, abide that sense of alienation, that's what tshuva is all about. And therefore, ultimately, that's why the Rambam emphasizes the vidui so much. When you do tshuva, do b'derech, what's the vidui? The vidui is about the busha, it's about the nechama, it's about kabbalah ala asid. Like, what's that all about? I mean, how can you make those guarantees? The answer is, if you are doing tshuva and you don't see it just as a way of neutralizing, you know, the threat to you, to your existence, onshin, etc., but you really have, like, internalized, you know, what it means to be alienated and distant, you know, and the absence of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Kirva Lashem and so on, then it's tshuva in the sense of return, you know, Kiruv Lashem in the bigger idea. So then true sense of mortification and embarrassment and, you know that you're not going to do this again. That doesn't mean you won't do it again. Like you're right now, your Kabbalah La'asid, you know, if it's sincere, is sincere. Like where you are right now, you can't do it again. It's not a Dharma Shalom Baliola. And the Nechama is like very visceral. Then you go back out into the world and there are other influences and, you know, you can forget again. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the sincerity of the moment and of course, you know, building on that. So for the Rambam, you know, whether it's the tshuva of a particular time in the year when you reassess the relationship, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or it's the tshuva in the actual context and response to specific averos. You know, whatever it is, the tshuva part, again, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's the chiyuv to do tshuva, not in connection with anything specific, but because this is the time of, it's the anniversary where we evaluate, you know, the nature and the status of our relationship. So if that's the case, then the culmination of Vilchus Tshuva, and the Rambam, this I think how the Rambam understood the Gemara, of Tshuva Me'ava, Shenas and Tzchuyos, meaning if you can take the process of Tshuva and come out, you know, ahead, because you see it not just as a way of neutralizing the threat, you know, from Onshim, but you see Tshuva as part of Sefer Mada, as part of Avodas Hashem, as part of Avas Hashem, is leading to Sefer Ava, Mahafti Torah Secha, Kalayomi, Sichasi. If you can get to the transition between the Avera and Avas Hashem, then that's the culmination of Tshuva. And frankly, isn't that really what Yom Kippur is all about? As I said before, Yom Kippur, even more than Rosh Hashanah, is a day of Ava and Yira. Yira upachad mimenu, Manos umivrach, right, elav. The Rav used to quote in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe. I don't know the original source. I haven't looked so much for it either, so I'm not saying it's not findable. Something to the effect, I always get this wrong a little bit, but the general gist is something like Tisha B'Av, comparing Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Like, you know, Tisha B'Av, like, what a terrible day, you know. You can't eat on Tisha B'Av, it's just like, just have no appetite. And then it's like Yom Kippur, like what an amazing, heady, you know, day. Why would you want to eat, you know, on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the day of Kulal Hashem, I mean, too many people see it as, you know, V'Nisem, which is, you know, you're supposed to abstain, and that's called Inui Nefesh. But the V'Nisem is a mitzvah saseh. People don't, you know, always recall, I've spoken about this in years past, that there really is no explicit lav to eat on Yom Kippur. There's an implicit, you know, iser and onesh, but the Torah formulates v'nisem in a positive way. And our perspective on Yom Kippur is that, you know, Rabbeinu Yonason says it's a day of simcha. It's a day of yira, but as I say, it's the kind of yira that leads to more ava. Indeed, I'll just conclude with this, and I was going to say more, but you know, we've been learning Gittin, and I've been trying to suggest in the first two shiurim that, you know, Gerushin, as sad an institution as it is kind of an investment in the Kiddushas Ishus. It's a kiyum in the Kiddushas Ishus in many respects. And yet, there is a Gerushin, there is a concept, you know, that a marriage, as much as we have aspirations for it, as much as it is a kind of an ideal institution, an idealistic institution, but, you know, human beings are involved and there can arise circumstances where an exit, you know, is necessary. And in that respect, the Gerushin contributes to the Kedusha and is a reflection of the Kedusha Sishas of the marriage. That's what I've been trying to explain. But, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us in all sorts of different ways, you know, including explicitly, you know, in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun, Pasuk Aleph, which we have here on page 5, Number 17, you know, Ko Amar Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom turns to Klal Yisrael and he says, Eza Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shalachtia. Like, you know, where are you? And why have you abandoned, you know, the effort to do tshuva and to reconnect your relationship with me? I didn't send, you know, your ancestors a get, a Sefer Krisus. Right? Umi minoshaya shamacharti aschem lo, hein bavanosechem nimkartin, ubipishechem, shulcha imchem. So it's fascinating. Even Ezra and the Radak that I have here, I'm not going to read them right now, they point out that in Yirmiyah, Perigimel, Pasuk Ches, right, the Nabi says, Shilachtia ve'atena sefer krisuseha elecha. It sounds like a stira. It sounds like the Rabbanu Shalom says, I divorced your mother. So the Radak, the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, they say they're mechalik between, you know, the Aseres HaShvatim and Yehuda, but the Radak goes further and has a kind of, I think, a play on words where he says, basically, that, you know, the Aseres HaShvatim never returned, tarti mashma, meaning they never came back, and they never did tshuva. But, you know, but Yehuda did. The point is, you know, on a human relationship, as idyllic as it is, there still needs to be, like, an exit strategy. But when it comes to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, that's a marriage that endures. And as much as that means that the prickly, you know, difficulties along the way are exaggerated, because the expectations for loyalty, fidelity, you know, devotion, ava, are greater in some respects, and therefore the disappointment when that isn't, you know, achieved is also greater, and that's where you get odesh and threats and galus and so on. But in the end of the day, the relationship, for many reasons, is enduring. And part of it is because, I think that's what the Radak is hinting at, not only they returned, they did tshuva. And the tshuva, you know, which recognizes, you know, being in a state of hostility with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in the end of the day, is the tshuva me'ava. A tshuva me'ava, which is nasik, is the kizkuyos, you know, that's something between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael that exists, that can't exist on a human level when there's a certain kind of level, you know, of betrayal. And the truth is, but this I'll conclude, I'm not sure if this is, you know, really true or it's drush, but I think it might be true, and that is that Yom Kippur, of course, is the day of the return of the Luchos Shniyos. You know, and the Egel is perceived very much, you know, as a betrayal, you know, of the union between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's like, you know, the first and best example of exactly, you know, this principle, you know, that I wasn't shaleach a get krisus, you know, to your mother, that there can be, you know, a machzir grushaso, if you will, because there's no grushaso, you know, in the case of Klal Yisrael. So the day of Yom Kippur, the day of the reconstituted relationship of Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which also is the day of Kulol Hashem, it's the day of greatest devotion. They say, you don't want to eat. It's, you know, it's this heady day where you establish, demonstrate your credentials, you know, as being, if you need it to be, a purely spiritual, you know, being. What better, greater expression of devotion and commitment to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? What greater expression of tshuva or me'ava, or simply of avas Hashem? And as such, that's why, you know, that's the day of the Luchos Shniyos. That's the day of the reconstituted relationship. That's what highlights the difference between human relationships, as ideal as we want them to be and as they are within parameters that are possible for human beings, and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam, you know, on day number 10, you know, in terms of the Minhag HaOlam, the day of Yom Kippur, the day of Chiyuv Tshuva, the day of the Luchos Shniyos, on that day, you know, we read the culmination of Hilchos Tshuva. We read what Hilchos Tshuva always was about, from the first emphasis of Vidui to the special outsized role of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, because they're those kind of a days, till the very end of Perek Yud, Hilchos Tshuva itself, which is a peon to the special bond of Avas Hashem between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, which more than any other day expresses itself on Yom Kippur itself. The day of Tshuva, of Ketz Slichu Mechila, L'Yachel Rab. So this is our last shir before Rosh Hashanah, so I want to wish everybody a Ksiva V'Chasima. Otherwise we wouldn't have done this, right? A Ksiva V'Chasima Tova, Nishnas Chayim V'Shalom. Do we have a shir before Yom Kippur? I think we do. We do. So that'll be on Yonei Yom Kippur. And then after Sukkot, we'll pick up again on the, you know, the human parallel relationship.